This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, February 26, 2013. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the West Elk Mine in Somerset has gone 9 months without a serious injury while extending a streak of compliance with legal and environmental requirements. Since May 7th of last year, the mine's 350 employees have worked more than 500,000 hours combined without incurring a single reportable injury, as classified by the U.S. Mine Safety and Health Administration. Mine General Manager Jim Miller said an example of a reportable injury is one requiring sutures. In a news release last week, mine owner Arch Cole said employees mined 4.9 million tons of coal while working more than 580,000 hours, and added that the mine has also recorded 13 consecutive years of perfect environmental compliance under the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act. Miller said the employees deserve credit for observing and addressing any safety and environmental situations. Arch Coal acquired Mountain Coal and its West Elk Mine in 1998. The mine opened in 1982 as the Mount Gunnison No. 1 mine and has been operated by Arco Coal Company. According to the Western Slope Watchdog, the Tea Party-inspired National Day of Resistance saw local participation at rallies held on February 23rd in Montrose and Grand Junction. In Montrose, approximately 40 people braved chilly conditions to wave flags and signs at the intersection of Main and Townsend, while in Grand Junction, several hundred gathered at the old Mesa County Courthouse to hear speakers rail against national and state gun control efforts. Former State Representative Ray Rose, a Republican from Montrose, told the Montrose group guns are, quote, the defense against a tyrannical government. And he added, quote, we have a tyrannical government right now. Rose said Colorado's legislature, which is currently debating gun control, is being controlled, quote, by the masses on the front range. They blatantly defy the Constitution. A crowd of about 300 in Grand Junction listened to speakers urge them to write to their state legislators in opposition to proposed Colorado gun control legislation. The Associated Press reports that the Bureau of Land Management is proceeding with a plan to move 700 wild horses to a ranch in southwestern Montana, despite the fact that the owners of neighboring ranches are concerned about whether the land can sustain and the fences contain the animals. The Montana Standard reported the first truckloads of horses are due to arrive at the Spanish Q Ranch northwest of Ennis as early as Wednesday. Carolyn Chad, acting deputy division chief for the BLM's National Wild Horse and Burro Program, said all of the geldings are expected to be at the ranch by March 18th. The Spanish Q has a 10-year contract with the BLM to house the horses at a cost of $1.36 per animal per day, much less than the average $5.50 cost at short-term facilities in Colorado, Wyoming, Nevada, Utah, and Oklahoma. The ranch will hold horses that have been captured to control population levels on public land and have not been adopted. The Daily Sentinel reports that the Bureau of Land Management will reconsider the environmental review that led to the leasing of oil and gas parcels in the Thompson Divide area southwest of Glenwood Springs. The agency previously has canceled existing leases in that area because of a lack of proper pre-lease environmental review. Conservationists, ranchers, local governments, and others in the Roaring Fork Valley are seeking to protect the 220,000-acre Thompson Divide area, which extends roughly from Glenwood Springs to McClure Pass, from oil and gas development. However, more than 100,000 acres in that area have been leased. SG Interests and URSA Resources have asked for suspension of leases southwest of Glenwood Springs that are set to expire later this year. Leases last 10 years unless drilling activity and production begins, but the expiration dates can be postponed by suspension. A coalition offered last year to raise $2.5 million to buy out leaseholders and stop drilling in the Thompson Divide area, but the companies said the leases are worth much more. In 2009, the BLM withdrew three leases owned by Encana USA in the Coal Basin area west of Redstone and refunded the company for lease bid and rental costs after an Interior Board of Land Appeals decision. The Interior Board said the BLM improperly failed to adopt a Forest Service pre-leasing environmental analysis or do one of its own. BLM spokesman David Boyne said before any development of the SG and URSA leases could occur, environmental review would be required. That review could include additional analysis of the leases themselves if we find deficiencies in the NEPA completed on the leases, he said. A bill to give illegal Colorado students in-state college tuition initially passed the state Senate after a several-hour debate. Democrats have introduced a similar bill six times before, but as Bent to Brooklyn reports, this is the first year passage is almost certain.
In the past, the in-state tuition measure didn't even have enough Democratic votes to pass, and in recent years, Republicans blocked it in the House when they controlled that chamber. But times have changed, and even some GOP lawmakers are now on board. Republican Senator Greg Brophy from Ray says he can no longer vote against the bill when he personally knows students who would benefit from it.
They can't leave here to go home because they are home, and if they are home, they are going to stay here. And if they are going to stay here, they ought to be availed of the exact same opportunities that the other kids that they go to school have.
To qualify for in-state tuition under Senate Bill 33, a student must have attended a Colorado high school for a minimum of 3 years, graduated, be accepted to college, and apply for citizenship. Democratic Senator Michael Johnston of Denver is the main sponsor. The former high school principal says hardworking students shouldn't be priced out of a college degree.
These kids are kids who grew up knowing they were going to have to fight for every opportunity they were ever going to get are the single most grateful population of kids I've ever taught or worked with or stood on a graduation stage next to. Because they are not driven by the belief that opportunity is owed to them. They are driven by the hope that opportunity is open to them.
Many Republicans still oppose the bill, saying it won't solve immigration problems and will cost the state money. Senator Kent Lambert of Colorado Springs says the measure's unfair.
If we're going to eliminate out-of-state tuition, maybe we should do it for everybody, for all international students coming to Colorado. Are they not welcome?
In the end, three Republicans said they'd join Democrats to support the bill. A final vote is expected as early as Monday. It'll likely be the last time the Senate takes up this debate. The measure is poised to pass the Democratic-controlled House, and the governor has pledged to sign it. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
According to the Denver Post, the so-called sequester, the automatic governmental spending cuts that will kick in if Congress fails to act in the next few days, will take about $42.5 billion from defense spending and a similar amount in domestic spending this year. The potential sequestration impacts in Colorado could include the following: a loss of over $560,000 in investments in first responders, a likely furlough of USDA food manufacturing facility inspectors, which may cause 122 facilities in Colorado to curtail hours, reduced operating hours at national park visitor centers and shorter seasons for camping, hiking, and other recreational activities, an increase in wait times at Denver International Airport Customs of 50%, elimination of 115 Colorado teacher jobs that are funded by Title I grants, over 3,800 fewer Colorado special education students would receive support, the potential furlough of more than 12,000 civilian contractors for the Department of Defense in Colorado, and Broomfield Tower in Westminster and Front Range Airport in Broomfield could be closed down because of limitations to air traffic control. Thus concludes this morning's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.